Very beautiful song. Today's scripture can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1913. It is Revelation chapter 1, 4b through 8. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Blessed be the reading of his word.
Thank you, Carla. All right, so today's sermon title, The King and Me. I was going to call it The King and I, but I thought I might get in trouble with the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate. So it is The King and Me, and this is a collective me. This is not just a me-me. This is not just a you-me. This is an us-me. So all of us are this me. Got it? You with me? So the king and me. What we're going to talk about today is the right relationship between us, or me, and the king. Well, first off, we have to figure out who the king is. Next slide. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This is from Exodus. Moses is setting us up, telling us that the Lord will reign. So obviously the Lord is the king, because the king reigns. And how long does he reign?
Forever.
That's a long time. It's a very long time. And this is why in the passage today, God is described as the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, which means that any word that you need to make, any word that you need to make to write a great mantra or a song or even some kind of novel that you've been dying to create in your life, your life story, can be done with all those letters, correct? So this means that God has control of the beginning and the end and everything in between. And if we can create words from all those letters, what we're trying to get to here is that God can create everything and anything that we need or could want, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's in control of the beginning and the end. That whole arc that we talked about a couple weeks ago, that God time arc, God has every bit of it in his control. Next slide. Several dozen times in Scripture, God or Jesus is referred to as King of something. In today's passage, it was King over all the earth. He's also referred to as King of the Jews, King of the saints, King of Israel, King of kings, King of glory, King of Zion, and just plain King. Several dozen times, Scripture is letting us know who's in charge. Scripture is telling us, saying, God is the King. Now, I don't know about you guys, but having grown up in the United States, I don't have a lot of experience with kings. Rebecca was alluding to that in the children's sermon. We don't get the relationship between kings and servants very well, because we don't live in that realm. When I think of kings, this is what I think of. Of course, Elvis, right? He's the king. Undisputed king. And then Sean Connery, is he like the best king in movies? I don't know. He's King Arthur in this one. And what's interesting about King Arthur is King Arthur, if you're familiar with the Arthurian legend, is referred to as the once and future king. So in the Arthurian legend, there's an expectation that Arthur's coming back. Guess what? We have that same expectation for Christ, for our King, because we're entering the Advent season. In fact, Christ the King Sunday, you see the little icon on the bottom there, this is Christ the King Sunday. It was instituted in the early 1900s by the Catholic Church and picked up by all these other churches to sort of represent the last day of the liturgical year. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday, it's Happy New Year. Kind of weird, because we're not going to get there until January, but the church calendar, it's a Happy New Year. Advent begins the new liturgical calendar. And with Advent, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we also hope for His return. It's a joyous season. The season that we're in right now between Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Is everybody you meet just a little nicer? A little more ready to smile? A little more free with their greetings? I mean, sometimes you go down the street and you go, "Hey, how you doing?" Now, at this time of year, you might actually get a... But people do respond to this time period in a weird way. Wouldn't it be great if we could bottle this time period up and spread it out through the whole year? We're going to talk about how to do that. There is a secret. It's not really that secret if you read Scripture. But there is a way, it's a method to carry this kind of joy throughout the year. And joy is going to be our buzzword for Advent this year. So expect to hear joy a lot in the next month. Next slide. Of the earthly kings that we know of in Scripture, Chronicles and Kings, we're going to look at 20 specific ones from Chronicles and Kings that were the kings of Judah, which was the southern kingdom of the divided kingdom. And these 20 kings reigned between Solomon and the exile, right? And if you look at the statistic up there, only 6 of those 20 kings did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's not a very good average, unless it's a batting average. You might get into the Hall of Fame for that, 300, yeah, if your glove is good. But not for ruling people, not for ruling nations, not for making decisions that are going to drive forward history or hold it back. And that's what the kings did. The kings were all powerful. The kings were the people that made the decisions, or queens. There were some of those. You had Queen Cleopatra, and there were a few queens in the time, but mostly kings, because it was a patriarch society. Next slide. But this is the kingdom that we serve. We don't have to serve those earthly kings, because those earthly kings are saddled with the same frailties that we are. They want power, they want money, they want all the... They have the same weaknesses, the same brokenness that all of us do. That's why they're not perfect. The kingdom of God, however... And this is where I have a problem with the Christ the King. Because this Christ the King Sunday makes it sound like only Christ is King, right? When we know, all of us know, us collective me's know that God is on the throne. Jesus is at His right hand. And the Holy Spirit is there operating too. In fact, our passage today talks about the spirits before the throne. The 7 spirits before the throne. That is the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. And those 7 spirits, they come out of the book of Romans. These are called graces that the Spirit gives to us. When we receive the Spirit, we are giving these 7 graces. Whether we like them or not. Insight. Prophecy. Remember last week, we talked about prophecy being just telling the truth about God. If you have the truth about God and you're sharing it with people, you are being prophetic. So we're given the gift of prophecy. Helpfulness, service. Where does the word service show up in our bulletin? Love God, love people, serve. Right? Instruction and teaching others about God. Encouragement. We're called to encourage one another. Generosity. Giving, even though it hurts. Guidance. Leadership. We sometimes balk at this one. We say, I'm not a leader. Who am I to guide somebody? Well, I'll give you a little insight into the discipleship process. Unless you are the newest Christian on the planet, or your God, which I don't think any of you are either one of those two things, then you're always in a position to mentor somebody or to be mentored by somebody. So you're always in a position of leadership, even if it's just people seeing what you're doing and replicating what you do. And that truly is discipleship. Compassion. That's probably the most overused word when it comes to charities in the world. Be compassionate. Be compassionate. But it's not overused when it comes to our Christian walk. Because compassion is how we love. Compassion really is loving somebody else enough to care. Do you guys remember that continuum? Who was here when I talked about the continuum of good and evil? And the continuum to good started with caring for somebody. That's compassion. Next slide, please. Much of Jesus' ministry, he talked about the kingdom. In fact, if we talked about the kingdom as much as Jesus did, we'd be talking about the kingdom every third Sunday, probably. Because Jesus talked about the kingdom a lot. You guys remember when he got driven into the desert and tempted by Satan? When he came out of the desert, next slide, this is what he started talking about. The time is fulfilled. Why? Because he's now here. And the kingdom of God is at hand. It's imminent. It's ready. It's here. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he started talking about the kingdom in his first teaching coming out of the desert. Mark says immediately. Because Mark says immediately a lot. But Mark said immediately, he came out of the desert and started preaching. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, some of us are thinking, wait a second, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So to us, there's sort of this, is the kingdom future or is the kingdom at hand? Is the kingdom here now? Well, let's think about our God for a second. There's a God word that starts with an O. It's called omnipresent. Omnipresent means God is everywhere at all times and all places. So the kingdom is now, it was before, and it is to come, as is outlined in the scripture. Next slide. Six of Jesus' parables, out of 20-some-odd, so it's about the same batting average as the kings, but this is a better batting average because it's about parables, dealt with the kingdom of God. Who remembers these words? The kingdom of God is like. If you've heard those words, raise your hand. The kingdom of God is like. My favorite parable regarding the kingdom of God is like is the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. And a man walking along stumbles on it, and he recognizes it for what it is, and he goes and sells all of his possessions so he can buy that field. Or the merchant that finds the pearl of great worth, and he sells everything he has so he can buy that pearl. The kingdom of God is like that pearl. The kingdom of God has great worth. And Jesus is trying to get through our heads that the kingdom of God is worth everything. Everything. Next slide. In today's passage, this says, he made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Through his blood is what the three little dots are at the beginning. Through his blood, he made us. That's the collective me. Not the me, it's not the you me, that's the collective me. He made us to be a kingdom and priests. For the last 8 or 9 weeks, I have been on several occasions telling you that we need to be pastors to each other. We need to be priests to each other. We need to be able to confess our sins to each other. We need to be able to lay hands on and pray for each other. We need to be able to listen to each other and be that pastor for each other. Because why? We have to go do it to the world. And if we're not able to do it to us, to our brothers and sisters that we see every Sunday, how much harder is it going to be to go out to the world and do this? Jim, can you stand up for a second? I'm sorry to call you out, brother. If you guys don't know Jim, look at his face. Because Jim is providing a very important service to this church right now. He is training our deacons and our elders on how to be deacons and elders and engage people in a way. Thank you, Jim. You can sit now. I don't want you to, all the blood to rush from your head or nothing. You know? He's training them to be pastors to each other. Plain and simple. We're being trained to reach out. So this training is not just for deacons and elders. If you are interested in learning how to be a pastor to your neighbor sitting in the pew next to you, come see me, come see Jim, come see Rebecca. We'll figure out a way to get you into this training. It's that important for us to care for each other in the way that Christ cared for us. Next slide. We are the kingdom. Didn't it just say in Revelation that he created a kingdom of priests to serve his God and his Father? He created us as that kingdom. So if you don't look at this, these words here and say, we are the kingdom, and your mind doesn't go, you're not paying attention. When I saw this nugget in this passage, I was like, wow, this is an epiphany. I didn't think about us being the kingdom. I know we're servants of God, we're servants of each other, but we're the kingdom? We're that pearl of great worth? We're that treasure in the field? We are God's first fruits of creation. Remember, James said that. We are that pearl. We are the kingdom. So now what we have to ask ourselves is, what does it look like to live in kingdom lifestyle? Next slide. This is the question. God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them. From Genesis. If you've known me for any amount of time, or if you've read anything that I've written, you probably have heard my sermon on the image of God. Real quickly, in a nutshell, that word image from Genesis is the same word you would see used for painting, portrait, statue, bust, anything that represents the person in charge. So when it's written down in Genesis that we're creating his own image, he created us to represent him when he's not being seen by the world. We are his portrait. Kings, dictators, even presidents have portraits of themselves in public places so people know who's in charge. God created us as his portraits. Jesus created us as his kingdoms. We're supposed to reflect God to the world so they know who's in charge. That's easier said than done. Next slide. So what does kingdom living look like? We're going to go through these fairly quick. Next slide. It looks like Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Does anybody know what that is? Sermon on the Mount. From the very beginning, where he talks about the Beatitudes, to the end, where he talks about the foolish and wise builders, in these three chapters, this is kingdom living. It's giving your shirt to the person that stole your coat. It's walking 2 miles instead of 1 mile when you have to do it. It's everything that you see in chapters 5 through 7. It's the Beatitudes. It's the meek will inherit the earth. This is kingdom living. I didn't say it's easy. It's easy to find. Executing on it's a little more difficult. And this is where we have to decide to make a change in the way we look at things, the way we look at our life. Next one. It's Romans 14, accepting others, not judging others, making every effort for peace. Not just an effort. I'm going to try once. And if they don't like me, every effort for peace. Next slide. It looks like Galatians 5, 13 through 26, living by the Spirit. In these chapters, Paul talks about the spirits of the flesh, the things we don't want to do, The things that tear us down. It's not kingdom living. And he talks about life by the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit. Love, patience, kindness, all the way through self-control. But remember, it begins with love. Next slide. It looks like Matthew 28:19. The Great Commission. Go out and make disciples of all the earth. Next slide. It looks like our mission statement. It looks like loving God, loving people, and serving. This is what kingdom living looks like. If you haven't read the Sermon on the Mount recently, please do. If you haven't read Romans 14, read it. If you haven't read Galatians, read it. These are things. These are the keys to us walking through life. And when we come to that crossroads to turn left or right, which is going to the kingdom life or going to the way of the world, and we choose to deny the world and walk the kingdom walk, deny ourselves and follow Jesus, that is kingdom living. And the way you do it is by these passages. Next slide. So God created us in His image. Think about that. We are His portrait. We're supposed to reflect God to the rest of the world. Are you doing it? Simple question. You don't have to answer it. But are you doing it? Ask yourself. Evaluate yourself. Are you doing it? Are you representing God to the world? Next slide. We ask for this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. According to Revelations, Jesus already created the kingdom. So when we pray this, we're not asking God to come down here and change the world. We're asking Him to reinforce the kingdom. Us. We're asking for His will to be done. His will, ultimately, in Scripture, is to reconcile all things to Himself. Because why? He's the King. Everything belongs to Him. And He wants it all back. He wants all of us that have fallen away to come back to Him. He wants us all to be in the kingdom. So when we're asking, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're asking Him, we're praying to God to reinforce us, to strengthen us, so we can go out and make believers from the Great Commission so that His kingdom is built. Not one of us is going to save a person by ourselves. God does that. But if we represent God to the world correctly, then we have an opportunity to save people. Next slide. Everybody read this one out loud. We are the kingdom. That just blows my mind. We are the kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you.